Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome to Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are your resource for all your senior care needs. Should any of you have any questions or need direction to services or resources that might be available for you or a loved one, even a friend or neighbor, please give us a call at 435-477-6999. Again, that's 435-477-6999. We sincerely want to help. We know how difficult the healthcare system is. Insurances or even navigating the internet to find available resources can be overwhelming. Let us help. Give us a call, 435-477-6999. I'm Kaylee and this is Richard.
And today we want to talk about, in context, grieving. Losing a loved family member or a dear friend, but this is also at least as relevant for any loss. The loss of a pet, the loss of a friend, either by death or separation, it's relevant for the loss of love through divorce, moving, retirement, or even the loss of a job.
We felt many of you might find this particularly helpful during this difficult time dealing with COVID. Many in our community have lost jobs and even entire businesses. We recognize how important it is to help everyone understand the grieving process, as each and every one of us are grieving or will go through the grieving process at some point in our lives.
Yeah, I hope this will be really helpful. I'm looking forward to the show, you guys.
Thanks. We also want to explore the grieving process from the perspective of supporting someone who's grieving. If you're in a position that you can be there for someone who has experienced the loss, we'll give you some ideas of where to stand, so to speak, while helping someone through this grieving process. We may all be familiar with the traditional five stages of grieving that was promoted in 1969 by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. In her book, Death and Dying, these five stages: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
There have been some changes to that thought process, actually. For many years, mental health practitioners labored under the assumption that grief was a relatively short-lived process, that people navigated in an orderly and predictable fashion until they finally reached the closure point. At that point, the bereaved would move on and put the person they had been grieving in the past. Experts now know that grief does not move smoothly and predictably through a series of predetermined stages. In reality, it's a process that follows a different course for each individual. We all struggle and grieve very, very differently.
That's right. Grief is going to be a very personal path, and no two people are going to follow the same one. But while Kubler-Ross five stages is an oversimplification and many people's grief process won't directly follow that progress, that doesn't make it entirely useless. If we're prepared with even a little information, we're much better able to help those around us or deal with this ourselves. So the first stage that she talks about is denial, and I think we can all get a sense of that. But these are some important points. It's very common for people to try and initially deny the event in order to subconsciously avoid sadness, or even the thought of pending mental struggles about it. So people in denial often withdraw from their normal social behavior and become isolated. So if you are helping somebody with going through the grieving process and you realize that they're doing that, at least you can get a feel for what they're trying to do. Denial has no set time frame and may never be felt. So we'll still talk about that as kind of the first stage.
So let's go back just quickly and say that according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And many of us have heard those steps and processes and believe that, you know, we start with denial, we go through anger, then start the bargaining, depression, and then we finally accept and have that closure. You just touched on denial. While they may not happen in this order, we generally do tend to at some point experience each of these emotions, the next being anger.
So in the case of the death, anger is often focused towards the deceased for leaving that person behind and unable to cope. Other times, people become angry at themselves if they feel they could have done something more to stop the loss from happening. And that's from our experience. That happens a lot. You know, people start having those regrets and they start feeling angry about what they did or what they didn't do. And in fact, you could have some really odd feelings, things that just are completely out of the box. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so let's go on to third, and that's bargaining. And I think we all kind of have an idea of what that is, where we're trying to justify a little bit and come up with some way to manage our circumstances.
Reaching out to the universe to kind of make that pain go away somehow. It's actually very normal and largely considered to be a sign that we are beginning to comprehend our situation.
Right. And then depression, and it's... We want to be sure to be clear that there's a difference between depression from grieving and clinical depression. Depression from grieving is usually cyclical, or it comes out in events more than just a constant feeling of depression. None of these have a particular time frame that we can define, so you could go through this for a very long time. Many of these feelings will probably overlap. You'll experience them all over time, recurring, not necessarily one at a time.
Right. Often people try to make deals or promises to do anything if the pain will be taken away, whether that be in prayer or, you know, to doctors as you're dealing with issues. But then at the point that the depression, when we realize that no bargaining is going to benefit us or to change the situation, that is when depression starts to usually statistically fit in, and we start to kind of accept what is happening in our lives, the new normal and the changes that are taking place.
Right, and that acceptance is what everybody would refer to as this last phase of grieving. However, we want to be sure to understand that acceptance should not be confused with healing or recovery from the loss.
And depression should not be confused with clinical depression.
Correct. So these five stages basically just kind of give us an architecture of some of the things we're going to be dealing with, not a complete path from beginning to end of what we're dealing with. So we wanted to just go over some additional things that may help us to have a better understanding and more information that we can work with. It's a little more hands-on. So what we have is the Mourner's Bill of Rights, and I don't...
That was created by the Center for Loss in November of 2016. It was compiled of many articles written by Alan D. Wolfelt, who is a PhD.
And he's written a lot of things when it comes to loss and grieving. And this Bill of Rights, these 10 items, are very good at helping us, I guess, deal directly with this. So we're going to go through these today. And if anybody wants a copy of this, just contact us. We'll certainly send you one, either through the mail or email or however. We want to get this information out.
I'd say the difference between the five stages and then the 10 in the Mourner's Bill of Rights is really that it gives you permission to grieve your way. While you may have all the five stages or emotions of grieving, they can come in different ways. They can be shown or acted out differently from person to person. And in the Mourner's Bills of Rights, it really just gives you permission to overcome your grief in whatever way fits you and your personality and your specific circumstance. We might grieve very, very differently of the loss of a loved one as we would the loss of a business and our inability to provide for our family.
That's right. And the other part of this that I particularly like is it's really kind of an action plan. And as we go through this, whether you are grieving yourself or you are helping somebody else through this grieving process, these are great things to keep in mind and hold fast to. So number one, you have
Clearly
the right.
I'm letting you do all 10 of these.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to go through these 10. So first, you have the right to experience your own unique grief. No one else has the exact same way to do it. And, when it's your turn to go through grief, you get to do it in your own way. And you can turn to others for help, but you got to not have them take over control of this and have them tell you what you should or shouldn't be feeling. Okay? And number two, you have the right to talk about your grief. Talking about your grief will help you heal. We are social beings. We need to be able to discuss our feelings with others so that we can share, so that we can, when we put those feelings in words, we can better manage them. When they are undefined, it's really tough to get control over. But as we put those feelings into words and to categorize them and to give some real shape to them, then we can do better at dealing with them. So be willing to seek out the help of others. And for some of us, it's hard to say, I want to talk to somebody. On the men's side, I'm going to say that we tend to think we'll just take care of it ourselves. But if you can bring yourself to talk to somebody, find that person that you have trust in, that you can depend on, and give them an opportunity to have that conversation. Okay. Number three, you have the right to feel a multitude of emotions. Confusion, disorientation, fear, guilt, certainly more than the five that were listed before. All of those are legitimate emotions.
Part of the journey.
Yeah, it's part of the process, and our mind is trying to put these things in order. So as we pour through them, if you can imagine a very dirty garage, you know, you just start kind of sorting things, and then you can finally find places for it. So that's really this process. And you have the right to be tolerant. You have the right to be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits. There are things that are just going to be overwhelming, and if there's a day that we can't get out of bed because we're so overwhelmed with grief, you have a right to that.
I would just say that through my experience in that, while you do have a right to it, we need to be very consciously aware that we need to put a limit on it, because you can cycle into the clinical depression part. So you really need to say, okay, I'm just struggling today. I'm having a difficult day, and maybe take some time out to face and deal with that physical and emotional trial that you're experiencing, but then say, tomorrow I'm going to wake up with a different outlook, always remembering that you have a start of a fresh new day the next day. But you really do need to kind of limit those in time frames. Put an end on allowing yourself expression of emotion. You can have another day later, but don't let them cycle into long periods.
Correct. And if we were looking at starting a business and you had a failure that happened, the last thing you want to do is just continue to focus on that failure. You do need to focus on moving forward. And that's true for any grief. We need to focus on moving forward. We just need to realize that there will be times when that moving forward is very difficult or on occasion impossible to move forward, and we'll just have to take that reset when we can. Okay. You have the right to experience grief bursts. Sometimes out of nowhere, you're going to get this powerful surge of grief that overwhelms you. It's going to surprise you. It's going to probably surprise those around you. But you have that right because, again, we don't have control over everything we do. These are going to be things we deal with.
Yes, those are sometimes termed awkward moments because just out of nowhere, I've had that happen to me, talking about a personal experience or an emotional expression of grief, and the tears just start flowing and you don't know where it's coming from, and that's okay. Allow yourself that physical expression and then just, you know, try and move on.
And some of those are going to be really out of place. When I was about 23, I was involved in a traffic accident that totaled a car, and it was a pretty traumatic experience. But when we got out of the car and we were standing by the roadside waiting for the police, I started laughing and telling jokes. And everybody else thought I was really wrong with that. That's not what you do in this circumstance. I mean, everybody's...
But we've found since being married that anytime there's an awkward situation, you start joking.
But that's the way I deal with grief. That's me. My dealing with grief when it's awkward between us is I joke. But that's really the case.
And your poor children.
But other people have experienced that too, where it's just your body has this release of endorphins and well-being because you've survived. And grief is a survival. When you have to deal with the loss of a loved one and you're the survivor, there are feelings that you're going to have that, you know, may surprise you. All right. Another important one, one that we sometimes try and demean or belittle, would be the rite of ritual. you know, a funeral provides an acknowledgement of someone's death and a loved one. It gives people that opportunity to gather together and share and support each other. More importantly, it's that opportunity for you to mourn.
Rituals can provide a very personal and ongoing way for family and friends to remember the deceased in a very meaningful way. The ritual aspect is really important. Prior to COVID, we would usually have funerals, and for some, that was great for providing an outlet for mourning of a loved one and what they term as closure. Yet for some, it happens so soon after a person passes that there's not a chance to really make it meaningful. Once again, having more time to prepare, perhaps even involving the loved one, overcomes the issue of, you know, time being so short. Rituals can also help those grievings move on to a new normal, a world in which the person, relationship, or other object of loss is no longer with them, yet they continue to make a place for them in their lives for that connection. Rituals can assist us in coming up with ways to recognize the progression, but also honor the relationship to the loss. Some might light a candle on the person's birthday or have a celebration of life party for family and close friends to share the sweet memories that bring us joy and make us laugh. One family we had, each wrote a eulogy to their loved one before they passed and shared that with them. That way they could share in the kind words and memories that each family members had of them. It opened the door of opportunity. It was a sweet occasion of laughing and sharing. Their loved one, it even helped them plan her memorial service and asked for a special song to be played. I love that idea.
You know, and that brings up a very important point. Mourning is going to happen. It would be great if we could do that before that person is actually gone. If we could get through some of these feelings that we're going to have, some of these processes, and be able to share them with our loved one instead of being surprised at the end and then having to grieve completely alone in this. And so that's why we really want to reemphasize the idea of bringing on hospice early in that process, getting the opportunity to for everybody to understand what's ultimately going to happen, but more important, to be able to be together and to share and to make good experiences at that time. So we have a few more. You have a right to search for meaning in what happens. Don't allow somebody to say, hey, there's nothing you could have done about it. It just happens. And they try and diminish or de-minimize the event that happened to you. It's a big thing. And so we need to have that opportunity to find the reason behind that for ourselves. And you have the right to treasure your memories. Don't allow somebody to tell you that you need to move on, that you should be getting rid of things that you're not ready to get rid of, because that's your right to do that and to find enjoyment where you can.
And the time will come when you're ready.
Right. And you have the right to move forward toward your grief and healing. That's the last of the 10, and that is to recognize that your grieving has happened, and it's not going to be quick, but you are the one who's in charge of this event. If you are somebody who's going to be supporting somebody who's grieving, using this list and remembering that it's not for you to take control and to help them move through this, it's for you to be there, to listen when they want to talk, and to not feel like you have to talk about it if they don't want to, because it's not a program that you are following. It's a path, a wandering that this person is going through. So those are some of the important things we want to make clear in this.
It all sounds so complicated, you guys.
Well, you know, with a little bit of information, anything you do is better than everything you don't do.
Well, I really think it's just accepting that we're all different and that we all grieve differently, and every way that someone grieves is okay. Accepting and allowing each other their own grieving process is really what we're trying to express here.
And if you've ever thought, I just don't know what to say, keep in mind that it's not what you say. It's the fact that you're willing to listen, that you'll be there and support them to continue to talk to them if they want to talk, or to distract them if they want to be distracted. Be adaptable to the circumstance, and just be willing to be helpful wherever they want to do that. Let them lead, and you follow and support them as well as you possibly can.
You know, there's another emotion. It's kind of a strange one, but I experienced it when my mother passed. We just had such a beautiful, long experience when she was on hospice that when she finally passed and her suffering was over, I felt a tremendous release. It was almost awkward to explain to friends that I was okay with her passing, and it was hard for me because I felt guilty saying that it was beautiful and it was okay, but it is. Loss does not have to be tragic and devastating. For some, it is a release, and it's better for the person that's passing. We recognize that their pain is gone, their suffering is over, and that they're in a better place. And that's okay, too.
It is. Every emotion you're going to feel is an okay emotion. Don't be embarrassed by them. Don't feel like it's the wrong one. If you feel relief, if you feel some type of emotional relaxation because you just had somebody pass, there are a lot of things that could be contributing that. Not only the fact that, again, you've survived, you've been able to weather this massive storm that's been taking a toll on everybody around you, but also that, like my wife said, you do have this sense that that it's better for everybody involved. So there's really nothing wrong with that. But on the upside of this,
Let me interject quickly. I told a story once of my dad's passing on this show. Mm-hmm. When my mom passed, she had been on hospice and was enjoying a healthy palliative program that included a lot of natural measures and support from our hospice team in Las Vegas. Our entire family had time to go through our grieving process while she was still with us. So when she passed, as I said a few minutes ago, it was actually beautiful and peaceful. We had all accepted what was going to happen and had an opportunity to express what we were feeling and say goodbye to her. Almost 6 months later was an easier transition to say goodbye. But when my dad passed while living here in southern Utah, we had only been on hospice for 3 days. I felt such regret and an overwhelming sense of guilt, thinking, what did I do wrong? What should I have done? What questions should I have asked? Why did he die alone and so quickly? It was awful saying goodbye to him. It's been almost 3 years, and I still get choked up when I talk about his passing.
On the upside of that, he is the reason we came here and the reason we started Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Oh, I should keep going, shouldn't I?
You should.
All right.
I need a minute.
Okay. So grieving is complicated. Let's all just agree to that there is no simple formula, simple process. Everybody's going to be a little different, and there are no feelings that are wrong. So let's all remember that there's no right or wrong for this grieving. You do it in your own way, and the process will get over, the grieving process. That doesn't mean, like I said earlier, that that you won't feel any loss later, but we should be able to manage that feeling of loss and be able to redirect those losses to feelings of accomplishment and good memories. Now, if we get into a process where this doesn't change, where we are stuck in this grieving process longer than we think we probably should be, counseling may be an appropriate solution.
But remember, more time to deal with the grief is better. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. If you have any questions or concerns, if you need assistance finding resources, give us a call, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999. Call us today.